Everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone. Or are you without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment and to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here just for this purpose, to enlighten and empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, here we are. If you've been logged on, we started just about 5 or 6 minutes late. It was my fault. They've got a new brand of potato chips in the machine. And, you know, they're not that good. That's probably why, because I was messing around at the vending machine. Okay, so here we are. We were talking about sin last week, and we're going to be talking about sin this week and going to the vending machine and getting potato chips 10 minutes before the show. I guess I was wrong. So I'm sorry about that. Anyway, you know, priorities. Okay, this is the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. We're going to be talking about God's grace. We're going to be talking about sin with your host, Jim Hockaday. My name is BJ Rickard. Also, you can log on to the show's website, www.theabidingpresence.com, and you can contact us. We get emails instantly. Just make sure you say, hey, BJ, don't say my name on the air. It's okay if you say my name on the air. This is for your eyes only. It's okay if you read this over the air. We've also got a post office box now where you can send us letters or put anything in an envelope that you want to show us, testimonies or what have you. Now let's get down to business. Jim, we're going to really pass on some really good information about sin, because like last week, when people say sin, they figure you're talking about murder,
right.
robbing banks, animal abuse, all kinds of really adulterous types of things. But those aren't the sins that keep people's prayers from working, are they?
Well, there's so many more things that go into it than that.
Such as what?
Well, just such as the little nuances of how we accept negative emotions and attitudes. And the way that we respond to the world and the effects of negative influence that's going on all around us, it becomes a real web of deception. And it can entangle individuals before you even get to what we might classify as a big sin, with all kinds of distractions that'll keep your heart and your spirit from being able to enjoy the fellowship and the presence of God.
All right. Well, let's talk about distractions.
Okay.
Because I think that's a very confusing word to people, because when I talk to them about the show or we talk or I'll be somewhere and somebody will, you know, say, well, you know, do you want to talk about God? And I says, well, okay, you know, and,
right.
You know, I'll say, well, what kind of distractions do you have? And they says, well, what do you mean distractions? What's a distraction? Because you don't see the word distraction in the Bible, do you?
No, we got the word distraction in the Bible. In fact, Jesus made comments in reference to the story with Mary and Martha, and where Martha was so concerned about all the things that were going on with cooking while Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And he said, Martha, Martha, you're distracted. Well, I'll say this. Different translations say words differently.
The right, New that's King what James, I'm talking about. There's a,
right. The New King James says, you're distracted about many things. Mary has chosen the best part, which is to sit at his feet.
Yeah.
And that's that verse right there really kind of typifies where we're going tonight.
Well, it does. And it does for a lot of reasons, because we started talking about this last week. And, you know, it isn't like this show is going to be kind of like a made for TV movie a miniseries or like a soap opera.
That's good.
Because 1 week is going to tie into the next, and then the next week is going to tie into that. And it's just going to kind of tie together and make it easy, because when it comes to Christ, when it comes to Christianity,
yes,
and having a relationship with God, this is what I know. And considering I've now been saved for almost 190 days.
Excellent.
I'm an expert.
You are. And when you get to 200, we'll celebrate.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I don't know what it'll be, but it's not going to be that brand of potato chips.
No. We'll
okay.
leave that alone.
We will. Here's the thing, that the way I feel about it, and I'm just going to pass this along to people, is that we get wrapped up in things that truly distract us, that we don't really understand are really distractions.
Correct. Correct.
Because there's this world, which everybody thinks is the real world. Well, it's not. This is the unnatural world.
Right.
Because when you try to take things from this world and apply them to God's world, which is the spirit world.
Right.
That's where the wheels come off the wagon.
Yeah, they don't translate.
No, because the spirit can't multitask.
No.
Either you're focusing on God
That's
and
correct.
Your spirit in heaven, or you're focusing on this world, the unnatural, and whether you like it or not, you are literally exposing yourself to multitudes of different types of sins.
Yes.
Because a distraction is just kind of a baby sin.
Yes. And the distraction, what we don't see, but it's so real until it ends up showing up when it's too late, is the distraction puts a dimmer on your spiritual alertness and awareness of God. And that's exactly what negative energy or the devil, that we make a terminology for, that's exactly what he wants. He wants us so distracted that there's a dimmer on your spirit and you're not alert unto God, you're not in fellowship with God, and you find it difficult to trust God. Because, I mean, let me take an example, and you see what you want to run with it with. But
All right.
as simple as a $20 bill that you don't know where it is, but you know you have it, but you can't put your finger on it.
Right.
So you can't use it. Versus the $20 bill that you just put in your pocket, you feel it in your pocket, and without even looking in your pocket, just reaching your hand in, slipping your fingers in, grabbing a hold of it, pulling it out, and using it. How simple is it when you are aware of where it's at?
Oh, absolutely.
And this is exactly where our distractions lie. I mean, has anybody ever had that horrible feeling that to me is one of the worst feelings in the world? And that is where you have not, you've not filed something that you should have filed. And well, Erin, my wife, she's very, very good at filing things and keeping things in order. So if it's something that I know she's put away, I can say, honey, where is that? In what drawer is it, or what file is it? And I can find it. And that's a wonderful thing. But what about when you've got a stack of papers and you haven't filed them and you know it's in there, but now you're frustrated because time is of the essence and you're under pressure and you can't find that thing that you know is there? That's a horrible feeling.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's how people feel about their Christian life and their Christian experience. In fact, it was Smith Wigglesworth, which is a man of God 100 years ago that had so many amazing results, that used to say, if you're endeavoring to find faith when you need it, you're too late. In other words, you should already be in fellowship with God where you're aware of him. And it's just so easy to release the wonderful presence of God that you're communing with. What do you think about that?
No, I think that's perfect. I think the hardest thing, this was the hardest thing for me because, well, you know, people still, you know, they say, oh, come on, you're not saved.
Mm-hmm.
Not the way you look. You know, you look like, you know, you just are about ready to rob a stagecoach. You know, he's just a tall, you know, tall, lanky, long-haired cowboy, you know. And no, there's, you know, you don't believe in God. And then, you know, and now, you know, I just say, no, I don't. You can't argue with it.
Sure.
You know, that
you'd be there forever trying to prove a point.
And that's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
Is one of the biggest distractions there are.
Yes.
Is that it's everywhere in the book being the Bible, how you're supposed to testify. Bring people to God, safety in numbers, pray in numbers. We're all God's children. And out of the goodness of our heart, and because we've had prayers answered, or that life is good and we know that there is God and we can see somebody struggling or somebody that we want to share this with, 99.9% of the time, when you start talking about God or Christianity, they don't want to hear it. I mean, it's right up there with talking about like Amway. You want to buy soap and juice boxes, you know, people just, you know, that Amway's bad, but I mean, you know, everybody's been pounding that, you know, now
you've been down that street before.
I've been down. Yeah. See, now the potato chip company and Amway, it's growing, folks. It's snowballing.
It is. And you know, next week they're going to ask me, what brand was he eating?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Tell them a very bad brand.
Yeah.
But anyways, the point is that we try so hard to share our grace and to share our love. We try so hard to pass it along to relatives, to friends, to coworkers, that it's actually a distraction when we're turned down and they're not receptive.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a major discouragement.
Yeah.
Because think about it. You're the only one in your home. In your home. You're the only one in your house that prays. You're the only one in your house that even knows where the family Bible is.
Yes.
And when you try to bring this up, when you try to talk about it, and oh, just wait what happens if you sit down at night to supper and you say, you know, why don't we just say grace tonight?
Yeah. Talk about changing the mood, right?
Yeah, talk about hearing a pin hit the carpet.
Yeah, well, Jesus dealt with that in his own hometown. Think about his reception. I mean, everywhere he was received, and here in his own hometown, he stands up, takes the book of Isaiah, begins to read, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me, and talk about the Messiah. And then when he got done with it, he closed the book and sat down and said, today, this saying has been fulfilled in your hearing. And they all took up stones and led him to the brow of a hill to throw him off and to kill him.
Yeah, that's handy.
And that's his own hometown.
Yeah.
So what does that say about your own hometown and your own people? People aren't going to want to listen.
No. And, you know, and I've said this for years because, you know, being in the horse business, working with horses every day, you know, and people say, you know, I'll have a colleague, a veterinarian or a horse trainer, or somebody will say, you know, look, you can explain things. You can elaborate real well. Why haven't you told them? And I says, because they're not receptive.
Hmm.
They don't want to know this about their horse because it'll make them think bad about themselves. And I'm wasting my time and their time because it's literally going to isolate me from them. I have to be patient and wait for them to want to know about their horse.
That's really
and
good.
And I'm finding that same philosophy works with the Word of God and God's grace.
Yeah.
Because if you force it,
yes.
If you push it,
yeah.
Oh, it's going to go nowhere.
Yes.
I mean, you can hear the doors slam, you can feel the curtains being drawn, and you hear a voice say, "Nobody's home."
Right.
And that is a distraction to you.
Yeah.
Because if you're new, well, you have doubt. And doubt is sin. Anything that is not positive, anything that does not direct you and focus you to God.
Yes, there it is.
Is sin, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where is that? What do you have a passage for that?
Yeah, we do. I'm just trying to wrap my brain around it.
Just find it. And while you're finding it, I want to tell people about you can send us instant emails at the abidingpresence.com at our website. You can send an email. Say you're listening. Say hello. We've got Liz. Liz is listening in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She said hello. And so hello to Liz. I don't know very much about Liz, but
we appreciate her saying hi.
Yeah, I think that was nice.
Well, the scriptures declare, and I'm looking for it right here, but it says that anything that is not of faith is sin.
Okay.
And so
that's interesting. Anything that is not of faith
is sin.
Well, see, that goes to what I was saying. If you're not thinking about the spirit world,
right,
and you're focusing on the unnatural
world.
Because
where is your faith? Your faith is in the unseen.
And it's really about victimizing your own spirit, isn't
it? That's what it's about, closing your spirit
off
to
God. Because, you know, when people say, you know, the devil made me do it, or, oh, I've had a really bad day, the devil's really got me in a clutch, that's wrong.
Yes.
Because what you've just done is you've given negative energy, otherwise known as devil or Satan,
right,
you've given them what? Tangibility.
Yeah.
You've given them credit.
you've exalted him.
Yes. So you've lifted up,
mm-hmm,
you've lifted up the devil, negative energy, and you've pretty much flipped off God.
Yeah, what Jesus made the comment, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Now, the reverse of that is, if you lift up negative energy, what's going to take place? You'll draw every negative thing to you. There's this one. There's this amazing balance, BJ, that's in the earth. And thank God, as children of God, we don't have to play this game because God's absoluteness gives us a way out. And if I was using biblical terms right now, I would use some terms out of the Bible, such as Romans 8, verse 2, that says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. Noticing there's two different laws. Jesus, who said, if I tell you earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And then another concept that, don't worry about it if you don't totally get it, but again, I'm just putting out a couple of terminologies from the Bible, but the whole idea of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that Adam took from and partook of, that now shows the earth realm subject to good choices and bad choices. Because in the midst of every good choice, it's good because there's an opportunity to make a bad choice. In the midst of every bad choice, it's bad because there's an opportunity to make a good choice. And that's what Moses said over in Deuteronomy chapter 19, 30 and 31, where he said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Notice the opposites. Life, death, blessing, cursing. He said, choose life that you may live. And this is where we're headed tonight. We're wanting you to make great choices. Those of you that are listening, we're so thankful that you're here. We want you to really listen intently to everything we're saying. And you've got a great combination here tonight. I may give you some thoughts like I just did, but I can always count on my co-host here to bring us right back to square with a real simple, thought-provoking example that shows the good from the bad, the choice that keeps your spirit open and sets you free to experience God, and the choices that are around us that imprison us.
It's not complicated.
No.
It's not easy, but it's simple.
Explain that, BJ.
Okay. Yeah, because I will. Okay. When I say that praying, having a relationship with Christ, understanding that you are a spirit being and that don't focus on the flesh and of this world, it sounds simple, but mm-hmm. it's not easy.
Okay.
Because a lot of people will say, well, you can do this. It's simple. It's easy. Well, those are two words. That's a sentence that everybody uses for everything.
Okay.
You know, well, I'm new here. Oh, it's simple. It's easy. You'll mm-hmm. figure it out. Well, we think that they mean the same. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference between something that is easy and something that is simplistic,
mm-hmm.
that's simple.
Okay.
The word of God is simple, but it's not easy.
Okay.
There's no gray area. God doesn't grade on a curve.
Right.
It's extremely absolute. Yes, no, grace, no grace. Your prayer is answered. We didn't hear your prayer.
Right.
The Satan, devil, negative energy, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus.
Yes.
There's no middle ground.
Okay, I like that.
It's simple, but it's not easy. Because it's really simple to tell somebody not to be distracted about your family. It's real easy to tell people don't be distracted about the weather reports. Don't be distracted because your knee is the size of a basketball.
Okay.
Dismiss it. That's simple, but it's not easy.
And it's not easy because of the flesh wrapped around your spirit that has predominance if you're living in this natural world. The world fights against the flesh. Well, you know, Paul said, here's a good scripture, BJ, over in Galatians. I'm going to read this one. You're going to like it because you're going to want to refer to it later on in this real good example that you just gave. I love that we can grab some scriptures and just give proof to everything that we're saying because we're certainly not making it up. All right. Look at what Paul said here in verse 16 of Galatians 5. You're going to like this. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh, and he goes on to explain the works of the flesh. In other words, if you're going to live out of your own performance and live with a consciousness of this world that is unnatural to your spirit, you're going to involve yourself in all these things. And then he goes on to say at the end, he said, if we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. Notice what he said, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary to each other. And that's where it's not easy, isn't it?
No, it's not. It wasn't. It was. I knew it was simple to be saved and to start just living my life a little different, not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But then after about a week, I said, man, this is tough. Uh-huh. This is not easy. And that's when I came up with that saying to you. I said, well, you says, what are you doing? How are you doing? I says, well, it's simple, but it's not easy.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say for a listener out there, I think everybody can pretty much on a great percentage recognize the difference between good and bad, right and wrong.
Yes.
That's what we would call simple.
Yes.
Living that is the contradiction of where you put your value.
Well, the thing is it because you literally have to let go of the steering wheel.
Very difficult to do that, isn't it?
Yeah, you literally have to just say, okay, I'm going to unbuckle my seatbelt.
You unhook from the flesh.
Yeah, I'm going to unbuckle my seatbelt, and I'm going to sit on my hands, and I'm not going to close my eyes, and I'm not going to squeal like a little girl, and I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit operate this vehicle, and I'm going to get to where I'm going just
okay.
fine.
You said that's something really great there, because it's only when you get out of the way
that
the grace of God actually works.
Yeah, there was two hurdles that I had to get past. Number one, the biggest hurdle of all was with my age and my lifestyle, and I mean, not that I was like a really bad guy, but I mean, you know, footloose and fancy free.
Uh-huh.
You know, you don't have children and you don't have, you know, a family and you live alone
right.
on, you know, hundreds of acres and, you know.
Yeah.
I know how to spell self-indulgent frontwards and backwards. But that being said, that wasn't the biggest hurdle. The biggest hurdle was as people, I just said, you know what? I'm not going to tell anybody anymore because it's not working and it's bumming me out. I'd say, you know, I found God and I like it. And I've been praying and all my prayers are being answered, 100% of them. And they'd say, you know, you are so funny. You know, you're so sarcastic. I never know what's going to come out of your mouth. You know, and that's what I heard. And after a while, it really started to hurt my feelings.
That they weren't taking you seriously.
No, because I didn't have anybody to share it with. And I finally thought, you know what? I don't have to share it with anybody. We're supposed to have our own personal relationship with Christ.
Right.
Who cares?
Yeah.
What somebody else thinks. And as soon as I did, oh, man, I took giant steps forward.
Uh-huh.
In my relationship with God, giant steps. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And then the next biggest hurdle was realizing that there are people that are just not going to get it.
Okay.
They're just not ever going to have a relationship with God.
Yeah.
They're not bad. They pay their bills on time. They might have an amazing credit rating. They'll be a Cub Scout leader. They'll pet the neighbor's dog. I mean, they're just one of the greatest
right.
citizens in their
right.
community. But if they don't have their own personal relationship with God, their spirit is trapped, and
yeah.
they're not going anywhere.
Yeah. And the sad part about that with—
And that is sin right there.
Yeah. Yes, it is. The sad part about that, BJ, is that unless someone experiences the Lord, you don't know what you're missing. And for so many people that have come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior and yet have never gone through the door, they just opened it. And they allowed the Lord to come in, but they never took another step to engage themselves or their heart in a relationship that would actually prove out to be the most wonderful thing that would affect their lives and every part of their life. They don't know what they're missing. And so the sad part is they've been conditioned to believe that the world and the way that they know their life is what life is really all about, and that's about as far as they're going to go. And there's many people that will never make the choice to go further. And for a lot of reasons, many of those reasons is just what religion has done to make going further become a simple choice.
Well, it talks about it in, help me out. Is it the book of James that talks about you don't get any bonus points if you've been saved your whole life, and if you're saved at the last minute, everybody gets the same place at the table? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Is that in James? I mean, and I'm not sure if it says bonus points in the Bible.
I didn't.
You know,
I might want to just kind of look in my concordance for bonus points. I don't know that it's gonna
Ladies and gentlemen, stand by while we get a ruling.
We need you to give an interpret. We need you to actually write your own version.
I don't think it would sell. Well, I've had very good luck with my equestrian books selling. You know, I've had a lot of them published.
I actually think it would.
I don't think a BJ Bible is going to fly off the shelves. I think it'll be just thick enough to fix that wobbly table in the garage.
Okay.
But, you know, in James it talks about, and this is my point.
Yeah.
Because if all sins are forgiven, which they are, and whether you've been, well, you were saved when? When you were four?
When I was four. Yeah.
Okay. Well, here I am. I'm 52 and I'm just been saved. Well, I mean, you know, I've always said I'm very immature for my age. But anyways, I've just been saved. But you know what? We are both equal in the eyes of God.
Yes.
You don't get bonus points for being saved for all those years. And I don't get dinged for not.
No. No.
Because everybody's sins are forgiven. And it doesn't matter when you go home. It doesn't matter when you realize you are a spirit being. They just want you to do it.
Yes. Yes.
Now, see, that is simple.
Yeah.
But it's also not easy.
Yeah.
Okay, did you find it in there?
Well, if this is the one you're talking about,
It's at the end.
It says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins.
There you go. See, multitude of sins, cover all this, help a brother out.
Right.
There it is. Ding, ding, ding. Bonus points. That's how I read that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it doesn't say bonus points, but I'm going to write that in my Bible, okay?
No, don't. No.
Actually, well.
I know you're not.
Okay.
All right. What we need to do, folks, is we're going to be taking a short break here in about a minute. You're going to hear some music. So we really need to turn our microphones off so we could just laugh. We're having a good time here. We need to get up to speed. You know, and here's the thing, is that so many times you'll go to a building otherwise known as a church, and if you go to the Abiding Presence website, you can see where Jim and I have written things under For Your Consideration. You'll see that there's some titles under there, Swimming Against the Current. But when we talk about a building, is it a building or a church? Jim's got a really excellent one where under there he wrote on September 22nd of this year, and it's titled Distractions. So that'd be a really good one for
people to
check out since we're talking about distractions. And also under Theories, ladies and gentlemen, on the website, you can really check out some of our theories that we've written. And the one that I think is really pertinent tonight that goes along with the letter you wrote about distractions is a theory on the theories page of the Abiding Presence website is the air theory.
Okay.
Because God's grace is like air. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's abundant.
Yeah. And I think people, when they read that and they apply what we're talking about, I think that'll give them some good information. I think that will help them out. You can call us. You can email us at theabidingpresence.com. Go to the website and I'll say contact the show. We do have some testimonies that we are going to be reading on the show here in just a few minutes, but we're really going to be taking a break here, and we will be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show, the first radio show of its kind anywhere. Not just on regular radio, but on the internet. So just be right back. Email us if you'd like. Tell us where you are. Tell us what you think of the show.
This is the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Jim and BJ will be right back with more wonderful insight and information to help you with your relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Please feel free to email the show with your glorious testimony of how the grace of God has taken your life from the unnatural world to the spirit world. Go to the Contact the Show page on the show's website right now. Thank you for listening to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show.
Okay, we're back. You can contact the show through emails. Also, we've got regular mail through the U.S. Post Office. Also, something that we talk about on the show that a lot of times people aren't aware of is we have these healing sessions at night. And are they always on a Thursday, or is this one on a
Usually
Thursday?
Usually, it's on a Thursday, yes.
Okay, so the next one coming up is November what?
November the 3rd.
Which is a Thursday.
Thursday at 7 o'clock, probably about 7 to 9, and it'll be a great time.
This is where people come and they leave walking when they were crawling through the door. I mean, the Holy Spirit is in the building.
Yes.
And things, I mean, this is something to see.
We're there on purpose for a purpose.
Yeah.
And so is God.
And it's where's is if they go to your website, not the Abiding Presence website, but if they go
JimHockaday.com,
yeah,
there's a page of our itinerary, and it'll be on there.
Okay,
and all the directions to the church, to the facility where we're going to be, will be there, and you'll be able to see that it'll start at 7 o'clock, and it's going to be a great night. So we invite you out, and if you know people that need help. This is exactly where you need to bring them. Bring those that got cancer, that got all kinds of problems inside, outside, whatever it is. God is a tremendous and awesome healer, and he won't vary from his word. If he did it once, he'll do it again.
We just got a real nice instant email from, I don't know where she is, but her first name is Erin. And she said, you guys are funny, and she wanted to say hi. So wherever Erin is, who Erin is, she's enjoying the show.
Well, great. That's awesome.
Apparently, we crack her up.
Well, good. I'm
yeah,
glad
but, you
we
know,
do.
I want to go to
it's
this.
It's good to bring joy to people's hearts.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's why I want people to go and read some of the things we write, because are they going to a church or are they going to a building? Because there's a big difference.
There is.
And you know, Why wouldn't Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God, why wouldn't they like humor and laughter
yes.
and enjoyment?
Well, if Nehemiah 8:10 says the joy of the Lord is our strength, then if strength comes out of the joy of the Lord, how could God be anything but joyful?
Well, and so when sometimes, you know, I'll say something. I'll say, you know, you shouldn't joke about God. And I said, why not? And they says, well, because it's just disrespectful. You're supposed to be really serious. And I says, are you kidding me? Come on.
Well, you know, religion's painted that picture for so many years. And they paint the picture that God's some old guy on the throne that can barely get up. The 24 elders are there just to help him around. It's a hospice home up there in heaven. But it's not. God is alive, full of energy, young and vibrant, and heaven has humor and joy and singing and dancing, and it's not going to be a dull place. It's going to be a place of the epitome of life.
Well, I think when people are lost, and what I mean by lost, I mean when they're just completely perplexed. They might be sitting in a red light on the way to work. They might be folding clothes in the laundry room of their house, and the rest of the family is doing other things, so they've got like a quiet moment. Maybe they're just floating around in their bathtub trying to decompress after a really bad day, and okay. all of a sudden they feel lost.
Yeah.
And they says, is this it? Is this really all there is to my life?
Yeah.
Because I don't think I signed up for this.
Yeah.
There wasn't nothing like this written to me or about me in my high school yearbook that this is where I'm going to be in 20, 30 years after graduating high school. And they feel lost. They almost feel cheated.
Sure.
Like life has given them nothing. And they says, well, I don't think I should, you know, just get things handed to me, but I'm not that bad of a person. But yet I feel like I'm almost being punished. It's a feeling of loss.
Hmm.
And that really comes from their heart, from deep inside them.
Yeah.
And when you feel something in the pit of your stomach, when you say this really hurts my heart, what you're really saying is, this is not good for my spirit, right?
Right.
Is because really what they're feeling is their spirit is literally aching. It's dying of thirst, and the thirst is God's grace, right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, the void that's created there is there only because man was never created for the intention of anything but the joy, the peace, and the love of God, having a relationship with Him. And that's, BJ, the whole reason why we made the terminology of what we've been calling natural. And we said, no, everything that we've called natural, which pertains to the good, bad, and the ugly of this world, is really unnatural. It was never supposed to be that way. God gave us the joy and the love of Himself. And when people don't have the presence of God in their life, there's a void. There's something that's aching. And this has been the misconception for the world. And this is, if you will, the beginnings of, and we could really elaborate on this, the web of deception that's out there where
The distractions. The sin of it.
And the sin of it, where people think it's normal just to try to find something of this earthly world to satisfy an inward craving when they don't know it's God.
A perfect example of how twisted this reality is that a couple are going out. And she says, "Honey, does this dress make me look too fat?" And he says, "Well, no, you look really nice. It looks good on you." She says, "Well, thank you." Well, now she feels good. Well, they get to where they're going, and some of her sisters or her best friend or her mom is there. And the first thing they do is they grab their arm and they take her aside and they says, "Why did you wear that? Do you have any idea how big your rear end looks in this? You know, why did you choose this?"
Yeah.
Well, the first thing she does...
Yeah, she's going to go right back to her husband.
Oh, yes, and the dissension. And she'll say, "You know, enjoy these few hours, because when we get home, the stuff is going to hit the fan because you lied to me." And then he's upset because he thinks all he was trying to do was spare her feelings.
Yeah.
We have literally been so distracted with trying to compromise, appease each other, say the wrong thing, because we don't want to be perceived as bad.
Hmm.
That we have forgotten what candor and honesty and a fiduciary responsibility to each other is.
Well, this carries over into your spiritual life as well.
I mean...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It carries over into your spiritual life. It's the same thing as if we told the story about the little boy that cried wolf. Well, he cried wolf so many times that then when the wolf came, no one believed it was there, and you miss out on a great opportunity. And so what do? We misconstrue what life's all about, and the next thing you know, you find yourself believing that what was right is wrong and what is wrong is right.
I was communicating with someone about an hour or two before the show was on the air, and I asked him, I said, "Do you mind if I ask you a question that you might find personal or you might find intrusive?" And they says, "Well, I may answer. I may tell you to mind your own business." So I thought, well, that's valid.
Yeah, sure.
So I asked the question, and then they answered the question. And then I qualified it, and I says, "Look, the reason I asked this question is because if this is something that is occurring, it is something that I'm not particularly fond of, that I really don't want to participate in. And I just as soon find out now than later."
Okay.
"Because I don't want to waste your time or my time, and I don't want to have to come up with a lie or an excuse to back out later on. I just as soon know now."
All right.
And I'm curious to see what they think of that, how that was perceived. But see, that's a type of honesty that people would say, "I can't believe you did that."
Yeah.
"I can't believe you said that or wrote it or whatever." They'd say, "What were you thinking?" I'd say, "I was thinking of the truth."
Right.
"I'm trying to avoid being a really bad man."
Okay. Well, BJ, think of...
I mean, doesn't the... I mean,
yeah,
come on. There's
got to
be other
going.
People out there that feel this way, right?
Yeah, I know where you're going with this, and I just want to relate it for a moment to the reason why it's so profound that we get back to some of these simple principles of what you're talking about.
Because these are distractions. You're lying. You're a liar.
That's correct. And here's my point. If you are willing to put yourself in a position to see right and wrong, black and white, and be candor about your feelings, then you're going to accept the feelings of God towards you
yes.
on a greater level,
yes.
and you won't misconstrue what he's saying and try to bend his rail when his rail is only straight, try to
Absolutely.
Round his edges when his edges are sharp.
He doesn't grade on a curve.
He doesn't. And your spirit, since it can't multitask, it's going to go for one thing or another
yes.
because you're seeing things in this perspective. When God says to you, I took your infirmity and bore your sickness, well, it's pretty much over.
Yeah, right.
There really is not a whole lot to discuss.
No, because if you compromise, if you fudge a little, if you say, well, I really don't think it's necessary to say that because I'm sparing their feelings.
Correct.
I don't know them that well. It really doesn't matter.
Right.
It's not that important that they really know what the truth is.
Right.
What always occurs when the truth comes out?
Sure.
Oh, it's over. It's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
My grandmother used to say, she says, the truth hurts, but it is cut with a very sharp knife, and when it heals, there's no scar. But a lie tears things apart, and there's always scars, and it never heals.
That's very good.
Yeah, grandma was smart.
Yeah, very good.
Plus, she made really good rice pudding.
Oh, I love rice pudding. It's good.
Well,
here's again a thought, because I have a couple things that I actually want to share
yeah,
here that'll be really
to.
Good. But again, I want to say this because what BJ's saying here, we could just hear it as his testimony and think, man, that's awesome. BJ's thinking like that. I want you to realize he's preaching to you. He's saying something to you.
No, we do not want me to be a preacher. No.
Well, irregardless of how we see that, I really want people to know that what he's saying, the content of what he's saying, is preaching to you. It's ministering to you. That when an individual begins to take all the P's and Q's and begins to dismiss the distractions that will cause you to compromise and be non-responsive to God, at that moment, when you're starting to see like he sees here, and you're starting to allow this to become a part of your life, it is so much easier to accept what God says to you. BJ, before I share something, I want to share this, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I can't tell you how many times in ministry I've been in meetings, prayed for people, the power of God was there, the presence of the Lord was healing people, and you'd have someone, after I prayed for them, their body is already 50% better. They come up to me after the service and they say, I just needed to tell you something. I said, well, how are you feeling? They said, well, actually, I'm feeling a whole lot better. I said, so there's a change in your body? Well, yeah, there really is a change in your body, but I didn't get to tell you everything. My pancreas was also hurting. And then my liver has had some problems and my blood work didn't come back. I said, but wait a minute, we prayed for you though. Well, yeah, I know you prayed for me, but I thought I needed to tell you everything. But you're already feeling better. Well,
right.
I'm feeling 50% better, but I didn't tell you about the tumor that was behind my eye, and that's the reason why I've been having headaches. And then they go down this list, and what they're doing is they're acknowledging what is negative and of Satan, and they're giving it tangibility. And the whole time they're doing that, they're completely dismissing the fact that God, by his grace, touched them and is in the process of healing and setting them free. And this is really so sad because it identifies with exactly what you've been saying about the perception of how you've lived your life in truth and in honesty, where you've kept before you exact truths and you've bypassed the rounded edges. And as a result of that, when God speaks to you, it's a finality the way that you receive it. And this is hard for people to comprehend. People would say, oh, well, BJ, you got blessed and God's working for you because you're special. Now, what would we say to that? We'd say, no,
yeah.
We're just another piece of sand on a large beach. No one's special. We're all special in his sight, but no one has anything that anyone else doesn't have.
I don't like the word special because when someone says you're special, I say, you mean like short bus kid special, or belong in prison special, or I always question the real meaning behind the word special,
right?
But yeah, see, these are things that take us away from God.
Yeah,
because I tell people all the time, don't sweat the big things. Don't worry about the terrorist attacks. Don't worry about the earthquakes and the tornadoes and the tsunamis. And don't worry about air pollution. And don't worry about greenhouse. The world's going to burn up. Worry about these little things. Did you get a dollar extra at the checkout counter and keep it and not give it back?
Yes.
Did you hold up the international one-finger hello sign because someone cut you off on the way to work the other day? Did you suffer from road rage? Are you telling these little white lies? Are you taking money out of the coffee can at work? There are these little things that people dismiss.
Okay, now
those are the things that distract them.
People would look at that and say, "Well, now you're getting petty." But the point that we're making
it's absolute.
It's extremely absolute, and it becomes the pattern of the way that you accept truth.
Because you keep getting one step farther away from Christ.
That's my point, and that's exactly what you're trying to say as well, is all these things add up to your ability to dismiss that which is of this earth and to adhere to and give glory to God. Well, I'm going to take a moment right there to just talk to you for a second. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 5. This is really good. Verse 16 starts out this way. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Verse 19, do not quench the spirit. Verse 20, do not despise prophesying. 21 says, test all things, hold fast that which is good. And 22 says, abstain from every form of evil. Well, here's an interesting thought again. If you put two and two together, you'll see that in the midst of making choices every day, you've got the opportunity to say good things. You got the opportunity to say bad things. You got the opportunity to choose what's right and absolute. You've got the opportunity to choose what is false and what is constantly changing or variable.
And it's simple.
Yes, it is.
But how easy does that sound? Doesn't sound very easy at all.
Well,
it sounds complex.
Yes, and here's where I want to draw people's attention, because in the midst of seeing this complexity, here's what Paul is saying. Notice the words he uses that are so absolute. Pray, or it says rejoice always. So if you're rejoicing always, how much time do you have to complain? Well, always means you don't have any time to complain. It says pray without ceasing. So how much time do you have to bicker with God? You don't have any time at all. In everything, give thanks. So how many things do you have that you can go ahead and curse with your words and struggle with your imaginations if in everything you're giving thanks? Paul's given us some keys here. The absoluteness of God is something that you can begin step by step by step to make small, simple choices to give your value and your worth to God. And when you put value and worth in God, the opposite is true, that you're devaluing.
Right.
And you're taking worth away from negative energy.
Yes.
And you
absolutely
will begin to distance yourself. Remember the example of the old English gunfight. You're standing back to back with your gun in the air, and you've got to take 20 paces before you can turn and fire, or 10 paces. Well, notice that you're both taking 10 paces or 20 paces at the same time. So your 10 actually equals 20 paces away. God loves math. Every step you take toward the Lord, where you're dismissing the things that, even though they seem so real, are not real. They're fabrications, because God's truth is the only reality you will ever need to live by, where you can find that every need of your life will be satisfied. You can't satisfy your life by trying to fix it in and of yourself. If you could do that, you would have already done that right now. It's God that gives you the ability to supersede what things are of this earth, which things that are of the Spirit. And we are trying to help people see today, and Paul is showing us right here, the value that you place on God and the worth that you give Him is to devalue everything that is negative. And by doing so, everything that has had substance or materiality. This sounds big. Let me break it down. The tumor in your body, the sickness in your lungs, the difficulty seeing, the struggle that you're having in your marriage, the problem that you're having in work, all the things that are there to distract you, give you headaches, give you difficulties, these things can disappear in the matter of a second when you value God and place worth upon your spirit.
You know, we've talked about this before when the appropriate time was for me to talk about my own, you know, issues. My own health issues. And you know, I just decided something while you were talking is that, you know, I don't think we're going to talk much about it on the air. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to, I think it'll be under, for your consideration.
Good.
I think that's where it goes because it's, you know, it's like a long story.
Yeah.
And I don't want to suck up an entire radio show talking about
plus
me.
People will want to read it over and over again, too.
Well, then we can just refer to it.
Yeah, I like it.
I just got to come up with some kind of a, you know, catchy title.
Yeah.
Like this particular brand of potato chips really blows. You know, they're just worth. I want my money back. I paid a dollar and there was like three crummy. But okay, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, that I want to pass along to you. And the hardest thing about a relationship with God that I found for me, was turning away from everything that I thought was true and important.
Okay.
That was the hardest thing because I got a lot of livestock.
Yeah.
And you know, I've got a lot of livestock on several hundred acres.
Yes.
That depend on me for food, water, shelter, protect them from packs of coyotes, poisonous snakes in the ponds and creeks. I mean, I've got a to-do list every day.
Right.
And it was hard for me to let go of that because that's the only life I know.
Yeah.
You know, is ranching. Being a cow, it's the only life I know. I've never had a job. You know, I've been self-employed my whole life. And it was hard for me to let go of what I knew to be real.
Yes.
And tangible. And putting fudgesicles in the freezer and toilet paper in the bathroom. You know, everything. You know, agriculture. Yeah. You live where you work.
Yeah, I remember those days. You're talking about that.
And it was very difficult for me to come and even talk to you.
Yes.
And you'd say, why? And I'd say, because I really should be on a tractor. I really need to be doing this. I really need to be working with this horse. And it was hard to do that. And what I found out is the more I turned away.
Yes.
And literally said, you know what? If this is important, if this makes spiritual sense, I can literally turn my back on it because Jesus Christ is going to do it for me.
Yeah.
He's going to take care of it. And what was one of the first things I said? I've never baled hay this fast in my life.
Correct.
It takes 14 days. That's how much hay I got. It takes 14 days from sunup till sundown till midnight to bale all the hay on the ranch.
Yes.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Part-time help, people. I mean, it's like a circus, you know, comes to BJ's house.
Yeah.
3 days.
Yeah.
72 hours, it was over. And everybody says, I don't understand it. We've never baled hay this fast before in our life. And somebody says, you know, this is a miracle. And I says, you have no idea what you just said. And he says, well, how did we get done so fast? And I says, I prayed about it. I literally said, you know, God, if you want me to help Jim, if you want me to help with this radio show, if you want me to lay hands on people and heal people, then you got to help me bale hay. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves to bale hay.
Yeah. Well, I noticed, remember when we were talking, some of the first things that you made reference to that I thought were awesome, as you said, as I've been giving my time towards the Lord, number one, I'm finding out how many things that I involve myself with that are meaningless.
Ridiculous.
And then you would say, and the things that actually were meaningful, I found how God just seems. Do you remember what you used to say? It's like it's almost like you've got this this little fairy that's going around doing all this work for you.
Yeah. I said, God's grace is really a whole bunch of invisible little cowboy fairies that go around and fill
and
the
do
water
all
tank.
Your work.
They do the chores. They fill the water tanks. They make sure the coyotes leave the older and the young horses alone. And you know, a big storm comes through, and my gates are fine, and nothing. The wind hasn't blown everything over. And I said, you know, it's just God's little cowboy fairies.
If we stop,
it's like that for everybody.
Well, it is. And that's why I wanted to say, if we stopped right here for just a second, for just a moment, please, put your imagination into overdrive and just begin to conceptualize the possibility. What if life had so much more meaning than we've given it? And by giving your value and worth to God, your time to Him, and seeking the relationship that's so real and the thing that your heart desires so much, and allowing yourself the freedom to release your spirit to experience God, What would happen if you all of a sudden began to experience the grace of God in every area of your life? And the first thing that you would find out is, oh my goodness, I'm involved in so many things that have no importance to the value of my relationship with God.
Yeah.
In fact, the majority of them are set definitely against it and pull me right out of the spirit.
What I feel really bad about is that, you know, I'm not a materialistic person. I don't have a lot of possessions. I really don't care about money, you know, because I just like, you know, living in the country and, you know, living my life on a ranch. I'm just not caught up in this stuff.
Right.
And I didn't have a lot of distractions. It's not like I had alimony or wife trouble or ex-wife trouble or children trouble. I don't have those things.
Yeah.
I don't even have a mortgage. I don't even own a credit card. So I didn't even really, and this was the way before I was saved.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody used to say, you got a great life. You know, your whole life's a vacation. And I'm going, yeah, buddy. You know, I'm loving life. But, you know, even saying all that, think about someone who's got mortgage bills, credit cards, car payments, health problems, mother-in-law problems, father-in-law problems.
And the list goes on.
And it is. And all of a sudden, they feel, that's why they feel buried.
Yeah.
They feel lost. They feel it's impossible. Because
right.
when you talk about, imagine what things would be like, because it's almost, when you read the Bible, it seems unconceivable.
Yeah.
I mean, I could make an intelligent debate at a debate. I could make an intelligent argument about the Bible being all smoke and mirrors, and boy, it really would be neat if it was that way.
Right.
It's almost where you're waiting to find the guy behind the curtain, like the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
It seems this way, but it's just too good to be true.
Right.
But the only reason it's too good to be true is because we've been so distracted for 2,000 years.
Yeah. That's right.
Don't blame each other. Don't blame the building you go to. Don't blame your mom and dad. This started with Adam and Eve.
Yeah, and choices have been made. And even
simple choices.
Yeah, simple choices. And even the Apostle Paul felt buried at a moment over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. And Paul said this, Lord, he prayed three times, take this thorn away from me. Well, the thorn wasn't a sickness like a lot of modern denominational thought would lead you to believe. The thorn wasn't sickness. If you look up the scriptures on the thorn in the flesh, you'll come back over into the Old Covenant and you'll see Old Testament and you'll find out the thorn in the flesh were people that were sent to persecute other individuals. People, individuals that would come to persecute you or come to steal from you. And that's what the devil would do. It was a messenger of Satan that was sent everywhere Paul was going because of the revelation that he had to stir up crowds of people to kill Paul. And Paul cried out. He felt buried. He felt like he was underneath a huge burden that he couldn't get out of. Three times he said, God, take this away. And God's response was very simply, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Paul thought about that, your grace. Yeah, it's sufficient. It's beyond the measure of need. And this is what God said, in your weakness, I will make you strong. Now, Paul was so quick to respond. He said, God, I get it. When I'm weak, then you make me strong. Therefore, I would rather glory in my weaknesses that when I'm weak, you will make me strong. Paul caught the vision of it.
Yes.
Instead of fighting against what you're buried in, immediately submit or glory or value God's grace, and then His ability right. will lead you out and supply you with strength.
I want to leave people with this thought. I want you to consider that turning to God and being saved is like joining the United States Marshal Service Witness Protection Program. You leave your entire life behind.
Yes, you
will. You start fresh with a new name, a new identity, somewhere where nobody knows you, and everything that you ever did, good, bad, and indifferent, is left behind. It's all forgiven.
Yeah.
You start at zero. That's what being saved is like. As you dismiss it, you let it go, and you start over, because it's about repenting and it's about forgiveness. And we're going to talk about sin and repenting and forgiveness next week, right?
Real quickly, yes. Real quickly before we're done, and I want to say a little prayer here. I've had this on my heart for about 20 minutes.
All right.
And I just want to say a prayer, because I believe there's someone there that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior tonight. And we've been talking, and they're just thinking, if they would just let me have an opportunity. So just for a moment, bow your heads. Father in heaven, I give you praise and thanks, because you've given us Jesus Christ as the one and only answer to every need of our life, and the one and only way to have a relationship with you. And so if you're there in the audience tonight and you've never given your heart to Jesus, and simply say this out of your heart: Almighty God, I believe in you tonight. And from what has been said on this show, I believe that Jesus Christ is my answer. I believe that he died on the cross, and on the third day, he rose again. Tonight, I want a relationship with you. So I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord, and I ask you to come into my heart. And I know at this moment that I'm now a child of the King, that I'm in the family of God. Thank you for saving me, for changing my life. Thank you for your grace that is now so abundant to supply me with strength that I've never had. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I like it. That was good. They're always good, but that one was spot on. That was good.
Good.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the last hour, you've been listening to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show with your host, Jim Hockaday. Make sure that you go to Jim Hockaday's website. You can get to it off of the show's website, and you can see where he's going to be and some of his meetings that you may want to attend. Also, make sure that if you want to send an email and all you want to do is say you're listening and you want to say hello, please feel free to do that. Also, we did not get to the testimonies that I wanted to tonight, because Jim was giving us some really good information. So right now, I want to say a special hello to Calvin Grant and Barbara, Liz and Aaron. And also a special thanks to Chris and Shelley Love. They designed the website. They're invaluable to the show. And if you're looking for someone to build you a website or do some internet stuff, you really need to check with Chris and Shelley Love. And you can get to them through the show's website. And I don't know what they were doing tonight, but I don't know. Who knows what they were doing?
I don't know either. But all I know is we love them, and they're amazing folks, and they'll help you like no one else.
Folks, we're just about out of time. I'd like to ask a favor of you. Just take a moment to re-listen to the show this week. Consider what Jim has told you. Just take care of yourself and take each other. And we'll see you next time. Good night, folks. I'm BJ Rick.